Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. This next segment is all about something that we talk a lot on this program about, and that is empowerment of others. And our next guest is someone that's been able to do that, not only, of course, with students, but also with other educators as well. Carolyn Alexander Lewis is our guest. She's written a book called Just Back Off and Let Us Teach, a book for effective teachers and those who champion them. I love this book as someone who benefited from great teachers myself. I'm excited to talk to Carolyn, not only about the book, but also about what it's been like for her to be able to motivate, to inspire, and to show other people, of course, that there are some amazing teachers out there that are doing great things, and those are the ones we have to make sure that we're supporting. Carolyn, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much. I really enjoy what you just said.
Well, look, I appreciate individuals like yourself. As I said, I would not be who I was if it was not for the great teachers I had. And I want to begin the conversation by actually quoting something that you wrote on page 84 of the book, Carolyn. This is what you say. Teachers ought to fully embrace their roles as catalysts for sparking interest and lighting fires in the hearts and minds of their students. And that is exactly what I have benefited from, and that's what, you know, you have been able to do as well. What has that been like for you, Carolyn, to know that you have been able to make a difference in the lives of others?
Truly, Cyrus, this has been a love affair. I am so grateful that I chose teaching as a career. Mm-hmm. I have gotten back 20-fold what I have given. And the sense that I live a life of meaning, having been a teacher and having right now a platform to try to inspire, encourage, and sustain our best teachers, it's almost euphoric because my big problem is that the profession is losing its nobility, and people like me aren't going into it anymore, and that's why I need a screeching halt on some of this demoralization of the profession that's happening.
Right. Right. And it is sad, Carolyn, I have to say, because I think, you know, that there is such a wide brush that we are so quick to paint situations with, paint professions with. Teachers, unfortunately, have been victim to that as well. And I think, just as, we have to with every, I think, profession out there, we have to look at everything case by case. I love the fact that you talk about, and I should say that not only was Carolyn a teacher, but also a principal as well, and you address, the roles of both in the book. I think that's why a book like this from someone like you is so important. You use words like respect a great deal, and enlightened a great deal in this book. Do you hope that really, is what people take away from it, that it really is about not only respecting those who go into this profession, but also being able to work with them to make sure that they can do their best for the students?
Well, yeah, and the insights you already are sharing are exactly what I had hoped to communicate, because I do believe we are catalysts, teachers. Every single day there's opportunity. One word, one phrase. I've had people tell me that a teacher wrote them on a piece of paper, well done, in fourth grade, and that changed their lives forever. Mm-hmm. And so I think the power of teaching is misunderstood, not just by the public at large, but sometimes by teachers themselves. And so to wake everybody up to say, I give them in the book an effectiveness scale, and I say if you're between 15 and 25, which is, the epitome of effective, you're in the good range and you should be moving towards the top in one direction. Don't slip back, because it's easy to lose sight of why we're really there when we are being told what to teach, when to teach it, how much to teach, and that we are going to be evaluated based on how students perform. So I think that what I consider the magic of teaching, that sort of insight and catalyst and all of that, really needs to be rehashed, and we need to remind teachers and those who champion them that they need inspiration, that they need support.
Right. And I think that is a great thing. And I think, too, I love the fact that you kind of give us even what you call in the chapter a reality check, Carolyn, because, you know, the truth is not all students were like myself. I remember I was talking to some of my friends, and it's been now 20 years since I graduated high school, but I was telling them I had a blind Spanish teacher, and there would be students in the class that would put things in front of her for her to bump into and things, and it would upset me so bad, especially because she has an assistant in the class, and the assistant wasn't doing anything, and so I would actually call her at home at night and tell her, well, it was this student that did this to you. And finally, Carolyn, she says to me, she says, Cyrus, she says, I appreciate your calling, but you don't have to do that. I'm there for my job, and I'm going to do my job regardless of what they do. And I bring that up because one of the things you say on page 19 of the book, in that chapter, Reality Checks, a day in the life of a real-world teacher is loaded with opportunity, and it can be draining. And you go on to say this, we have to teach all students, those who are motivated and unmotivated, sated and hungry, disciplined and unruly, and natured and scared. So, unfortunately, not all students come there excited about what they're going to learn. There are all different dynamics there. How important is it for us on the outside to realize that and to keep that in mind, Carolyn, as we are thinking about educators?
You know, Cyrus, your sensitivity leads me to suggest you might want to consider the profession. But anyway, you have an incredible pulse on some of these very important issues. Well, I do think that it's crucially important. I do think that we have to keep in mind there are three legs to any education reform. And one of those legs is the readiness of the learner to learn. And so that whole reality check thing is for people to keep in mind. A lot of people judge teaching because they were in classrooms once.
Yeah.
But you cannot judge teaching if you haven't done it day after day, week after week, semester after semester. There's no like doing it for a day and going home and reflecting for a week. This is nonstop bombardment. So the three legs of the school I insist that we consider are the readiness of the learner to learn, including Maslow's hierarchy and their needs not being met. The second is the quality of the teaching and the readiness of that teacher to be a true scholar and to inspire lifelong learning, which is where I bring in, where I have the most insights, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then the third leg is the culture of the school. What resources do the school have? What tone? Is the principal charismatic? Is the school falling apart? Is there a lot of technology? So the whole culture of a school, parental involvement included, is that third leg. I think we're overly focused now on teaching and in all the wrong ways. Mm-hmm. But Cyrus, to be honest, we do have a segment of the teaching population that should not be in the classroom.
Right.
And what I am afraid is that the education reformers, like you said earlier, are painting everybody with the same brush.
Right.
And that's where we're losing the top prematurely, and then we're not attracting the brightest and the best. So the quality of teaching is diminishing, and we need to stop that very quickly.
That's so true. And, you know, and you even say that very plainly in the book. I'm actually going to read that, if you don't mind, Carolyn. But for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live, already having a great conversation today with Carolyn Alexander Lewis. She's the author of the book, Just Back Off and Let Us Teach. It's a fascinating book. When I first heard about this book, Carolyn, I knew I wanted to read it, and I knew I wanted to talk to you. So I'm so glad I got a chance to do both. But Carolyn Carolyn's not only a former educator herself, but also a former principal as well. And this is what you say about that. And again, it is realizing, as you just said, Carolyn, that there are not all apples are good. But again, as I mentioned earlier, you know, all professions deal with that. But on page 106, you wrote this, I think we have to call out the lazy or ineffective teachers more directly. Lousy teachers need wake-up calls, and too often, supervisors do not confront them. You go on to say this, and I think this is a really good point. While we work to attract and keep the best teachers, we can perhaps also help remove the least effective from our ranks. And I think it goes to a bigger reason why. Not only does it make it more difficult on everyone else, Carolyn, but the thing that I, and again, learning from what I have and having great teachers, is that it does do exactly what we discussed, and that is it makes everyone look bad because of these few you. So, you know, what has that conversation been like for you to have? You give some examples in the book of when you've kind of discussed even the exit plan for poor teachers, but how has that been received for you?
Well, I tell you, the people who have the best opportunities to do that are department chairs and principals, and they don't do it enough. It's almost having a heart-to-heart. Some of these people are good people. They just don't belong in teaching. And
yeah.
Some are just looking for a paycheck and really need to be documented. So how I get it is this. There was this young engineer straight out of grad school. And he dressed beautifully every day, and he was teaching physics. And the man was struggling. The kids didn't respect him. He couldn't get the planning. And by year two, I sat with him and I said, let's just call him Sam. Sam, I really think you have so much to contribute to society, but I don't think it's in front of a middle or high school class. Here's what I'm seeing. And so giving him his strengths and helping him teach at the college level or get into an advisory role in the business help him move on and help me get rid of a teacher who would be very well-intentioned but not very effective.
Right.
And so I think that people in leadership positions have the best, but teachers among their own colleagues. Some people are not ready to hear it, but some are.
Right. This is such a powerful topic to discuss, Carolyn. I'm so glad that we have a platform like this to be able to do it in. I mean, is that why you decided to put this in a book? Because, you know, you are able to address groups. You're able to talk to those individuals. But this book definitely, I think, opens it up literally to the world to be able to have this conversation. Is that what you hope would happen with it?
Yeah, if you read that last paragraph of the entire book, I am almost imploring a national conversation to happen. I also invite people to disagree with me so we could write that second book together and talk about what they think I have missed or misunderstood. But I'm sending this book to President Obama, Mrs. Obama, Arnie Duncan, the Gates Foundation, Teach for America. I want the talk show hosts like Oprah and Jon Stewart, who are major teaching advocates. John Stewart's mother is a teacher. He is incensed by some of this. And so I really want this national conversation to sort of lift the idea that we are ruining the nobility of a profession that we cannot afford to ruin.
Right. Yeah. Because it really is literally shaping the future. And I think that is the thing. And you know, and again, people like myself have benefited from it. And again, I know, as we've mentioned a couple of times here, it doesn't mean that everybody is a great teacher. It doesn't mean that everyone is an educator. But it does mean that there are, you know, enough reasons to fight for the good ones, you know, and to make sure that those that are not, you know, are not there. You know, I love the fact, too, and I have to say this, the other reason why I'm glad we're able to talk is that you also, Carolyn, are an individual that you, I mean, if anyone can make us really think about this, you're that person because you've been there. You've been in the classroom.
Yes.
You've been there as a principal. Do you think that also is why you have the respect that you have?
Yeah, I do think it's because I have 3 decades in it and not just my lens, that the last 12 years of my work has had me working with diverse teachers in all of the large public schools and charter schools and everything else. So my lens has widened tremendously from the direct experience and I also saw that my ability to inspire other teachers was something, I want to teach other people to do it too. I'll tell you why. When you speak to 170 high school teachers in February about this kind of thing that we're talking about, and scope skills and what it takes to be effective, and they kind of come away with like, yeah, I remember now why I came into this profession. It's like they're forgetting the magic that they have, the power they have to whisper in a child's ear, run for student government. You know, these are the things that teachers aren't getting. They aren't getting nourished. And it might sound touchy-feely, and nourished might be the right word, but reminded of the greatness of the profession and they are part of something bigger. I have no problem with effective teachers who are at the 15, 16 level if they're working to move up. I just don't want us sitting on our laurels. There are movies you and I have seen. There was this one with the Gyllenhaal girl and Viola Davis. It was called Won't Back Down.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to overturn a California school because
right.
Well, Viola Davis was a teacher. And go back and watch that movie. She was a teacher and had an effective teacher that had fallen into sloppiness and disengagement. And she became fired up and got her groove back. And I think there are a lot of teachers who are currently ineffective that just need that momentum and turning point to cross over. And those that don't or can't or don't want to, those are the ones I want to flag and start documenting and helping them exit.
Right. And, you know, I love the fact, too, that you even, you know, address we who are the students as well and talk about why, you know, there are some that may say that, you know, that it's hard to teach some kids. But you wrote this on page 37, and this really struck me because I remember going through something in high school and having a teacher taking out the time to be able to talk with me and to, you know, want to figure out what was going on and why it was affecting my grades. But this is what you wrote. Believe me, students like being challenged and held accountable by their teachers, regardless of what they tell us or how much they whine. They claim to want breaks and leniency all the time, but they do not really. What they want is a teacher who challenges them but who has heart. If a student is having a particularly difficult time, say a death in the family or a disastrous, unstable home, a teacher's sensitivity can be tremendously uplifting, while the lack of it could be particularly devastating. Most of the time we wrestle with a wide range of serious and not so serious issues and make good calls. At least we strive to do so. And again, therein lies, I think, you know, the challenge for, you know, for educators, because it,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it, as you mentioned throughout the book, it's not just that you can go to the classroom and teach. You are dealing with so many different personalities, especially these days. I know when I visit schools today, Carolyn, I mean, some of these classrooms, 30, 35 kids to one teacher, and I think, how in the world are you supposed to really get to them? I mean, and with the classes being so big and being so diverse. So, you know, I'm also glad that you said something else. You mentioned it in the book and you mentioned it in this conversation about this is an ongoing discussion. It doesn't end with this book as much as I enjoyed it, that there's mm-hmm. so much more to talk about. So talk about that next step. How can our listeners be a part of that?
Well, first, I would like everybody who is a teacher to take the Scope Skills Self-Assessment. It's on the Facebook page of the same name of the book, Just Back Off and Let Us Teach. And just sort of self-assess and have a conversation with themselves. The way we rate the Scope Skills Self-Assessment, I'm going to post that on Facebook, too, so that they don't even have to get the book to do it. And I think everybody who ever had a great teacher like you and just about every human being I know, use the Scope Skills and see if your teacher fit into a range that I would qualify as effective. I want to make sure I got the scale right. And then I think your listeners could help by sort of insisting that we respect the profession. I would like to get teacher salaries up, a starting salary of $75,000. Can you imagine what we would do if we worked to that end?
Right.
We would. Everybody would walk taller, and the brightest coming out of college who have an inclination for teaching will go into teaching. We can then require a master's in education and get teachers trained on the Scope Skills or to heighten awareness of them. So I do believe that your listeners can help us turn this conversation by saying we want to demand more of teachers, but we want to treat them with respect.
Right.
And you do so in word and in deed. The starting salaries have got to be much more competitive. So,
yeah. Well, you know, I have definitely benefited from this book greatly, benefited from this conversation as well. We're going to be letting our listeners know how they can get it for themselves. And I have to say, I had another great experience that happened with my, actually, this is going to sound so funny, but my first grade teacher, Carolyn, I was reunited with her just a few months ago. I was having a book signing, and she came. She saw it in the paper, and she came. And she talked about, you know, how proud she was of me and really appreciated. But what was so funny is that, and I got kind of emotional with her because she was relaying how much she enjoyed teaching. She's retired now, but there was this one student she talked about that had a really bad speech impediment and how, you know, she worked with that student. And she said, you know, she wondered what happened to him. And, Carolyn, I was that kid. And
no.
She did not remember that it was me. And I told her, I said, you know, that was me, Miss Bailey. And it was such an emotional thing because she was the one who helped me. My father stuttered really badly. I stuttered really bad. And she would stay after school and work with me. And,
now I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah, she is responsible for helping me become the person that I've become. And she had no idea. She didn't put together that it was actually me. So, I mean, so things like that, you know, make me really, and I think about as I'm going to share this conversation with our listeners, that, you know, I think it really shows why we have to fight for our teachers, why we have to fight for those individuals like yourself who are trying to help. And I think, you know, you spend so much time. The other thing that gets me is, you know, teachers spend so much time with students. A lot of times, you know, during the week, more so than the parents because, you know, the parents are working. By the time they get home, you know, it's just dinner in bed. And I think, you know, it really does say that we have to be willing to work with them. And I love the fact, too, that you talk about effective teachers, showing that there is a difference. And I want our listeners to get that. The effective teachers, and that it's not all teachers are effective, but definitely, as Carolyn was mentioning here, we have to be willing to fight for the good ones and to weed out the bad ones. And I think that is the good thing. Carolyn, you mentioned the Facebook page. I actually liked it while we were just talking there, so we will be tagging that for our listeners there. You also have a website. Would you mind giving that out for our listeners, too?
It's CarolineLewisEducation.com.
All right. So make sure you guys are staying connected with her there. We'll be tagging her again with the Facebook page on this link to our conversation. And Carolyn, it goes without saying, you're welcome back here anytime. The book is available on Amazon.com, so we invite our listeners to go over there and get it. And I hope you will come back. We'd love to continue the conversation with you.
I think I would love it too, Cyrus. I love how you have crept into some of the meaty parts of the book, and you're asking great questions. More than anything, what do you think of getting this book and this conversation into the schools of education, into the teacher training, so the conversation can start even before they start the classroom?
Yeah.
I'm really going to start looking at that this week, I think.
Yeah, I think that is great. I think that is great. And I think, too, you know, I love the fact that you're using the power of the Internet because I think it's definitely going to help, you know, for individuals not only to know about the work that you're doing, Carolyn, but also to know about this book and to let them know, you know, what they can expect. You know, I think that's the other thing because all students are not great students, but all teachers are not bad teachers. And I think that's the thing, that balance that you discuss in the book is so important for all of us because it's so easy for us to be on the outside, you know, looking in and have an assumption without knowing the truth. And I think this book really helps us to get to the truth. So I really do appreciate you coming on.
Thank you. It has been a real pleasure.
Well, thank you so much for that. And we thank you, our listeners, for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. For our listeners joining us on the radio dial in Atlanta and in Mississippi, we thank you all for joining us for another great hour. For those joining us online, though, we thank you guys for joining us for another great segment. Now, as I mentioned, I will be tagging Caroline's Facebook fan page for the book, which is, as she said, is just the title, Just Back Off and Let Us Teach. So make sure you guys go over there, like the Facebook page, and be a part of the conversation that Caroline wants to happen here. It really, you know, takes all of our voices to come together, and you can start that today. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.